From the land of Grand University at Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 10th day of October 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker at CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the weather forecast with Mike Tenora at T-Storm Weather in Chicago, Illinois. In agricultural news, farm groups plan to appeal the Chesapeake Bay EPA decision. A new study on global warming says Jamaica may be off the chart hot in about a decade. And Cargill is reporting a 41% drop in quarter-over-quarter profits. We'll have details of these and other stories shortly. And don't forget that we'll talk with Matt Bennett from TGM out of Windsor, Illinois, about the cash grain market before we wrap up this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
Well, let's check the numbers now as they settled up in Chicago for this Thursday afternoon. Futures in the corn pit were down 5.25 cents in the lead option December at $4.38 and a quarter. The March settlement at 4.51, 5.25 lower. And May futures at 4.59 and a half, down 5.25 for the afternoon. July contract $4.67, 5.25 lower. In December of next year, $4.80 and a quarter cents. They finished a nickel lower. November beans at $12.88, up a quarter. January 12.85 and a half, a penny and a half higher. In the March at 12.72 and a half, up 3.5 cents. May futures there, 12.55, up 4.5 cents. July contract $12.51 and a half, a bushel, 4 cents higher. In November beans of next year, at $11.72 and a quarter, down 4.25. Bean meal futures at $4.24.40 were down 80 cents. Bean oil, 49 cents higher at $41.40. The July wheat futures for the soft red at $6.90 and 3 quarters, down 7.5 cents. And the hard red at $7.38 and a half, down 4 cents for the afternoon. Live cattle futures finished the October at $128.30, up 30 cents. December at $132.17 and a half, 22 and a half higher. October feeders at $165.92 and a half, $1.37 and a half higher. November futures $167.92 and a half in the feeder cattle, up $1.55 for the day. And lean hogs at $90.25 finished 42 and a half cents higher. December futures with lean hogs were 100 pounds, $86.65. That finished 12.5 cents higher. You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report. It does come to you from Illinois Public Media on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, November contract up $1.26 at $102.89. The RBOB gasoline or wholesale price at $2.69 and 2 tenths. That's up 6 and 9 tenths. And ethanol futures at $1.72 and 9 tenths, 6 tenths of a cent higher. The difference between the two is now 96 and 3 tenths of a cent wide, and that's 6 and 3 tenths of a cent wider than it was yesterday. Natural gas at $3.73, up a nickel and a tenth, and the diesel fuel at $3.06 and 8 tenths, 5 and a tenth of a cent higher. Gold futures finished down $10.30 at $1,296.70 a troy ounce, and the U.S. dollar currently trading 80.41 on a 10-minute delay. That's up 0.04 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service. For the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon, we're calling for sunny skies to continue with a high of 78 degrees. This evening, some patchy fog that'll come after 4 a.m. in the morning. Otherwise, partly cloudy, a low of 54 on a southeast wind at 3 to 5. It's calm, so the fog should be able to stay in place. And then Friday morning, foggy before 8 a.m., otherwise mostly sunny, a high of 80 degrees, mostly clear on Friday night, and a low of 57. Southeast winds at 8 miles an hour, and Saturday a 40% chance of showers, a few thunderstorms. Those will come before 8 a.m. Partly sunny, high of 79 degrees on Saturday. Saturday night, 40% chance of showers before 2 a.m., partly cloudy and a low of 54. And Sunday, sunny skies and 72. Sunday night, clear and 48. For Columbus Day, the markets are open, by the way, mostly sunny on Monday and 70 degrees. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Mike Tenora of T-Storm Weather out of Chicago, Illinois.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers ADM customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
It is the 10th day of October, and on the phone line with us here for the closing market report is Dan Zwicker at CGB Enterprises. He's in Mandeville, Louisiana. Good afternoon to you, Dan. Well, tell me just a bit about what's been happening in the marketplace and how you see that playing out over the next 24 hours or so.
Well, since we don't really have any newswire stuff to talk about with USA shut down, the trade is pretty much focused itself on harvest progress, yield reports coming out of the field, and at least up to this point, yield reports have just been fantastic. I mean, we're the trade's kind of guessing the harvest somewhere between 25 and 30% down on corn. Maybe soybean harvest is somewhere around 45 to 50%. Farmers have been kind of going after soybeans this past week. And that's what's starting to weigh on the market as we're getting far enough down the road here. And if the first 25% of this corn harvest, if the yield reports from what I've heard on this first 25%, if that continues, the trade's going to be looking at the national average of probably topping 160 bushels per acre, and that's just going to be devastating to the supply-demand table as we go down the road. Fortunately, we're going to probably miss the October crop report. It kind of looks like if there's any kind of compromise in Washington, it's going to be over the debt ceiling for extend that for maybe 6 weeks, but the government is going to stay shut down. So the soonest report that we're probably going to get is we're going to get a November report, and that's going to be roughly a month away or so. So we're not going to have an October report to knock prices down. It's all going to be pretty well driven by the marketplace. So beans, same way. Yields are very strong, but they're probably not as quite as strong as probably the corn yield. I think traders are kind of thinking maybe a national average yield of somewhere around 42 or 43 might catch the soybeans. But we still have, you know, a lot of harvest to go in the west and in the north, and that's where the poorest crop is supposed to be if we're going to get into it. But the trade's been pretty well focused on yield reports and harvest progress, because there's really nothing else to talk about.
You mentioned that the West and the North are the places that we need to know about. Are there early indications of what the corn crop is coming out like there?
From what I've heard out in Iowa, things are coming in awfully strong. It does seem like that August heat that we had really didn't do much damage, at least in a big scale. I'm sure some of the very latest planted corn and some of the very latest planted soybeans probably got hurt. But anything that was kind of planted in the middle part of May or the last week of May seemed to have survived it pretty well. I think once you get into the June planted stuff, well, then that's probably the stuff that kind of got hurt. And those are quite a few acres out there. What I haven't heard anything from those, but what I've heard coming out of Iowa, the yields are still very, very strong.
And the other thing that's in play in Iowa, parts of Minnesota, are the prevent plant acres. Eventually, the FSA numbers will be put into the market at some point by USDA. Will they help much?
Well, they'll help us to a certain extent, and I'm kind of one in the camp that think the acres are going to be much lower than what the average trade guess is looking at for right now. But when you're starting to hear these kind of yields coming in, it's pretty quickly, easily to offset a million acres here or a million acres there. I mean, just the September 1 stocks report on corn, you know, added a million acres of corn or, you know, a bushel and a half on a national average basis with USDA finding 163 million bushels of corn on that report. So we already started the month off with more corn than what we thought we had before the first of the month. So I guess I'm getting a little concerned with the supply that's coming in. So far, farmer selling has been generally limited. I'm not sure that's the best place to be at. I think farmers might be better off selling the early stuff, and if they've got storage, maybe store the later planted stuff, because I think if this crop continues to grow in size, we're going to see much lower prices toward the end of harvest than what we're seeing right now.
Any hope that the export market might pick up?
Well, there is interest in the export market. I do think there's some concern with the Ukraine wheat crop. It may be coming in on the short side. The default weather pattern, at least what we see in Argentina, seems to be more apt to be on the dry side than on the wet side. So there are some things out there brewing. But if we get ourselves in a situation where we're looking at a 2 billion bushel carryout in corn for the coming year, it's going to be pretty hard to crawl out of that hole because even next year with the reduced corn acres and average yield, we're probably going to produce more. There's talk here this morning that EPA is going to maybe peel back the ethanol bushels and 800 million gallons or something like that, and I think that would take 250 million bushels out of the ethanol equation if that happens. So it looks to me like we're headed for some pretty large ending stocks levels, and when you're in that situation, it's very hard to stir up a rally, because at some point in time we will find a sideways market and it'll just start trading sideways, and it's going to be a long winter.
It'll be a long winter. We've got December 14 to about 42 cents premium to the December 13. Does that need to be protected?
For those that have the experience of using hedges and working with an elevator that does hedge to arrive, I wouldn't be opposed to putting some of that on for the next 3 to 4 months and then have then take another look at it in the middle part of February, and by then we'll have an idea of what South America is. We'll maybe have a little better idea what the rest of the world is producing. But you can kind of look at the corn-soybean ratio for 14 only, and you can see soybeans are gaining on corn. So corn is in trouble, and it's really taken a nosedive over the past couple of weeks. And I think that is a direct reflection that the yields just are not letting up, at least at this point.
Why is it that wheat broke today?
Well, wheat probably because of corn. Now, wheat is in a much different chart pattern. I mean, wheat is more at the top end of the price range of the past month and a half. And I think wheat is more in a consolidation phase than anything. Now, we did get some cancellations that Egypt wasn't going to tender for their wheat. I think there is maybe another cancellation or so, but I suppose fundamentally that's what you would want to argue, that maybe the announcement that Egypt wasn't going to tender for any wheat. Then I think it gets into politics about whether or not we're going to give Egypt any financial aid in that country. So Egypt, you know, might not be as big a buyer on wheat as what we once thought they were going to be. But I think wheat basically just fell with corn and soybeans on spillover weakness in those other two markets.
Hey, thanks so much.
Okay.
Dan Zwicker is with CGB Enterprises, joins us here on the Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit offers products and service geared specifically to the agricultural community.
In agricultural news, farm groups say that they are appealing a judge's decision to uphold federal pollution limits that are designed to improve the health of the Chesapeake Bay by more tightly regulating wastewater treatment, construction, and agricultural runoff. The American Farm Bureau Federation and the National Corn Growers Association said they each had filed a notice to appeal the September decision. Farm Bureau President Bob Stallman called the limits, quote, a remarkable power grab by the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. In her 99-page decision, U.S. District Judge Sylvia Rambo ruled that the EPA was within its authority to work with the six states and Washington, D.C. to set and enforce standards to reduce nitrogen and phosphorus. Rambo also rejected arguments that EPA overstepped its bounds under the Clean Water Act. A new study on global warming from the University of Hawaii says that starting in about a decade, Kingston, Jamaica will probably be off the charts hot permanently. Other places will soon follow: Singapore in 2028, Mexico City in 2031, Cairo in 2036, and Phoenix and Honolulu in 2043, and eventually the whole world in 2047. To arrive at the projections, researchers used weather observations, computer models, and other data. The 2047 date for the whole world is based on continually increasing emissions of greenhouse gases from the burning of coal, oil, and natural gases. Cargill Incorporated has reported a 41% drop in quarterly profits as the lingering effects of the 2012 severe drought in the U.S. reduced grain handling opportunities. Minneapolis-based Cargill reported $571 million in net earnings for the first quarter ending August 31st. That's down from last year's record quarter of $975 million. Quarterly results fell in three of Cargill's four business segments. Cargill's animal protein unit posted a rise due to improved margins. New U.S. data shows that China has passed the U.S. as the world's biggest net oil importer. Chinese oil consumption outstripped production by 6.3 million barrels per day in September. The Energy Information Administration noted that China's domestic oil production was hampered over the past 2 months by summer flooding. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, that second program. You'll find on our website each and every Friday evening by about 6 o'clock p.m. USA Central Time. Our guest this week, Dan O'Brien from K-State. He's an agricultural economist. Our panelists in studio include Scott Harms of Archer Financial Services out of Oakland, Illinois, Bill Mayer from Strategic Farm Marketing from right here in Champaign County, and Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities. Commodity Week, it's our weekly look at what happened in the world of agriculture. Speaking of what's been happening in the world of agriculture, we'll move to Washington, D.C., where a South Dakota Congresswoman, Kristi Noem, says she's been assured by House Speaker John Boehner that he will appoint House Farm Bill conferees in the next week. South Dakota Senator John Thune has sent a letter to Boehner also asking for House conferees to be selected. Thune says he's encouraged by what Boehner told Noem.
I've not gotten a response to the letter, but I guess I haven't seen any confirmation of that. But I suspect that if he made that commitment to Congresswoman Noem, that that's going to happen. I just hope it happens sooner rather than later, because the sooner they make their conference committee appointments, the sooner that the Senate and the House can sit down and work out the differences and get this thing on the president's desk.
Thune says that's the most important thing Congress can do right now. This is the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC. Land auctions, farm management, financial services, and institutional and corporate real estate. Information on upcoming land auctions can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report for a Thursday afternoon. On the phone line to look at the cash grain market from TGM, that's the Total Grain Marketing Elevator, in Windsor, Illinois, is Matt Bennett. Good afternoon to you, Matt. Matt, are you with me? Oh, he's there. He's just... Hi, Matt. I knew you were there.
Yeah.
How you doing this afternoon?
I'm great.
I guess you're busy, aren't you?
Just a little bit.
Well, tell me about the trucks coming in.
Well, you know, we've got 99% of it is beans today. Yesterday we transitioned kind of into a lot of beans, and then, you know, quite a bit of them beans today, and almost everybody's, you know, dry. So, I don't know, it's a pretty steady flow of one thing, which is kind of nice.
Yeah, that would be nice. What's moisture like, and what are yields like?
You know, the early yields, I think, were really good for most guys. They were pretty happy with them. I think as we've moved a little bit farther into this, some guys are maybe a little more disappointed based upon what their earlier yields were. So I'd say, as a whole, I think the bean harvest in this area has been better than expected, but maybe not quite as good as what the earlier beans indicated. As far as moisture levels, you know, we're looking at, an average today around 12, 12.5.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now tell me about the corn market basis in your area, how it's changed, what demand is like locally, whether you can put it all away, what's happening there?
Well, you know, actually we've moved a little bit of grain out of some of our locations that weren't going to be able to hold all the corn based upon the way harvest started early on, and we're able to get a decent basis level, surprisingly, and we haven't changed our basis level for couple of weeks now on corn, so it's kind of holding in there and hanging in there, and I think that once this round of beans really gets gone and away with next week, I'm thinking that our basis levels on corn might struggle a little bit.
Mm-hmm. And now, so here's the final question for you. Earlier in the program, Zwicker said, hey, I'm not sure you shouldn't dump some of this corn early and then store the stuff later. What do you think?
I don't have any problem with that at all. And in fact, you know, I think that, you know, the way this market's looking right now, you know, not being able to hold above this 440 level, I'm probably going to be looking at most of our guys selling what they didn't already have contracted. And then, you know, hopefully most guys have got a little more bushels to sell than what they originally thought, and they can speculate on those.
And your bids?
Bids for today would be looking at 418 on the cash corn, 435 for Jan, 1265 for cash beans, and 1277 for Jan.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
It's National Angel Food Cake Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1796, marks the traditional date for the creation of the metric system. In 1817, Christophorus Spallet was born. A Dutch meteorologist, he was among the first to observe that the wind blows at right angles to the atmospheric pressure gradient. In 1892, Earl Dixon was born. He invented Band-Aids for his wife, who had frequent kitchen accidents, cutting or burning herself. He worked as a buyer for Johnson & Johnson, who soon began manufacturing his idea. In 1913, a dike was blown up by the U.S. engineers to complete the final stage of the Panama Canal, and the waters of the Pacific met the waters of the Atlantic. By the way, President Woodrow Wilson signaled the explosion, pressing a button in the White House, which sent a telegraph signal to Panama to trigger the dynamite charge. In 1929, Elijah McCoy died, a Canadian-born American inventor. He held a number of patents for the automatic lubrication of machinery, especially steam engines used in factories, railway locomotives, and ocean ships. And in 1933, Waldo L. Seaman received a patent on a method for making plasticized PVC, now known as vinyl. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report for a Thursday afternoon. Let's take a look at the weather forecast with Mike Tenora. He's at T-Storm Weather in Chicago. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Hey, Todd. How are you doing?
I'm doing very, very well. Can you tell me about the weather forecast for the next several days? Farmers would like to continue harvesting corn.
I sure can, and the weather does look good for harvesting corn. Across a large portion of the Corn Belt over the next few days, we will stay unseasonably warm both today and tomorrow. But then changes begin once we get into Saturday and Sunday. We'll see a cool front sweep on through the Corn Belt, and that'll trigger a few thunderstorms across the region. Now, we're not looking for significant rainfall with this event, so for a majority of farmers across the Corn Belt, it will stay dry all the way through Saturday and even into Sunday. So the next several days at this point look real good for harvesting and even for wheat planting for our friends in downstate Illinois and then stretching on over into Ohio.
Yeah, so the next several days are good for field activities. Once we get into next week, do things change?
Well, things do change, and we should mention that conditions are very wet across a large area. So we will be moving toward good conditions for harvesting and planting in some areas. But our real concern does begin on Sunday and more so Monday and Tuesday. We have a fairly large system that will move out of the Rockies and into the plains starting on Sunday and then continuing into Monday. The real uncertainty with this system regards its path. Is it going to move directly across Nebraska? Will it move across Kansas? Or will it stay much further to the south in Texas? The only thing we have some confidence in is that that system will move eastward and it will move across the plains. At this point, it looks like a fairly large one at that. So we're looking for widespread rainfall across the plains and eventually stretching into the Corn Belt, including Illinois, more so on Monday and Tuesday for the Corn Belt.
We have not had a killing frost across the Midwest, yes. At least I don't believe that's the case. Cold temperatures in the offing very soon?
Well, we do have some big changes ahead. The system we're worried about with regard to rainfall pulls much colder air to the south on Tuesday and Wednesday of next week. Now, the air that follows that system isn't all that cold. We will see minimums in the 30s and 40s across the Corn Belt. But that appears to open up the possibility for a much larger pattern change, and we think there's a fairly high probability for it as well, where it will turn much colder around a week from now, and we'll start to see real fall-like temperatures once we get into the 7 to 10-day period, and even beyond that. And we think we will see the first widespread frost and freeze again, sometime within Wednesday to Friday of next week, but really just after that. Once we get into next weekend and right after there, it looks like it will be much colder and a lot different story for a large portion of the U.S.
Check in on other parts of the planet for me. Maybe we should start with Argentina, where it has been very, very dry.
And that is a problem. We've seen a large area of their corn region that's received less than a quarter of its average rainfall since August 1st, which is a long time. And that is part of the reason that the Buenos Aires Grain Exchange has been reducing their intended acreage that's supposed to go over to corn and sunflower. And we don't see real good rain chances in that region, but as you head to the north, which is more the fringe of their corn and sunflower belt, we will see heavy rainfall. We actually did see heavy rainfall in some of that area overnight. Now, we'll see periods of rain up there. but in the key areas further to the south, it does not look real good for rainfall over the next week. And we think this is a story that does need to be followed because it is starting to affect planting decisions that way.
Mike Tenores with T-Storm Weather. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. That's the Closing Market Report.